Good morning, Centerpoint. Pastor Dwayne here. So good to be together. We're going to jump right into the Word and spend some time in Matthew 14 today. We spent the entire summer in the Psalms, and I said to you last week as we were growing out of Psalm 105 that we were going to be visiting a familiar story this week, and that's exactly where we are now. Probably familiar to some of us, and maybe if you're not a churchy person or you haven't been in church in a while, maybe you haven't heard this story in a while, or maybe you've never heard this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And so whether you've heard this story 100 times, I hope you will hear it fresh and new today. Or if this is the first time you've ever heard it, I pray that the Lord would use it to shape and mold your heart. And so here we go. We're going to jump right in. We're going to be reading this text, and we're going to be stopping along the way to talk. But here we go. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 13. We're going to be reading down to verse 21. Matthew starts by saying, when Jesus heard what had happened. Now, we just came off a part of the story where Jesus just learned that John the Baptist had been murdered by a spineless, terrible king. And Jesus has just learned the news that his cousin, that the one who was the forerunner for his ministry, he's gone. He's been killed. And so he's sad. And so the scripture says, when Jesus heard what has happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Now, when I read that last week, I thought, you know, things are bad when God is trying to find like a quiet, solitary place to get some time alone. You know, bad enough being a parent, but try being God in this situation. Now, hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the town. So by this point, the word about Jesus has gotten out. And many of the townspeople, crowds were starting to follow him. They had heard his teaching. They heard of some of the miracles he was doing, and they wanted to be a part of that, and they were following him out, even though he's trying to go out to get some time alone. Verse 14 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So we learn something about God right here. Even while grieving, Jesus was able to see these people and to see their needs and to respond to them right in that moment with compassion, and particularly compassion through the act of healing those who were sick. Out of a place of pain and brokenness where Jesus is, he's able to heal and love others even in that time. Center point, God is a compassionate God. Now, we've had a lot of fun with this video in our home, probably about the last year when we saw it. But this is a video of a little girl, dad or mom or somebody's caught a fish, and this is how she responds in that moment.
It's okay, fish. It's okay. I worry. It's okay. It's okay, fish. It's okay, fish. It's okay.
We're going to turn him back, okay?
Okay.
I got him.
So even in our own home, we have found ourselves recently saying, it's okay, fish. You know, when somebody's not having a bad day, somebody's in trouble, somebody's sad because they're not getting what they want, one of our go-to responses right now is this, it's okay, fish. Now, here's the thing, though. It's okay because there's a father there who's about to put the fish back. Now, I love the little girl in this video. She's so cute. But here's the truth. We can't look at the needs of the world around us and simply say to the world around us, it's okay. Right? We can't look at the needs in the world around us and simply say, it's gonna be all right, and just simply offer words. We're called to move. We're called to act in tangible ways. And as cute as this little girl is, I'm glad that the dad's there because she's cuddling it. She's holding. She's telling everything's going to be okay, but he's dying, right? And the dad's there to say, all right, let's get him back in the water. The dad is the one who delivers compassion in this particular case. Now, verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him. They came to Jesus and they said, this is a remote place and it's getting late. Listen to this. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. I love this story. The disciples knew that God was approachable and they knew that they could tell Jesus their concerns. Now here's the problem though. is all too often throughout the story of Jesus and his disciples, the disciples just kind of miss it. And they missed it on this particular day. They missed the heart of God right here. And so they come to Jesus and they have this proclamation to Jesus. Jesus, is getting late. We're far out. We're in the wilderness. You should send the people away so they can fend for themselves, so they can find food for themselves. And the problem was, though, is this was not in the framework of Jesus' ministry. How often we find ourselves out of step with the heart and the love that Jesus has for the world around us, and we're the ones who then think we can dictate to God how he should move, what he should do, and Jesus has to come back and to say to us, as he does in verse 16, Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." It's right here that Jesus takes advantage of just a great teachable moment with his disciples. And here's the thing, he's doing all they can. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing, he's providing, he's doing all he can to make sure that these disciples start to see life and people through the eyes of God so that they can see people with compassion. And so in this particular case, he puts responsibility right back on the disciples. And in fact, as an act of compassion, he lets them continue to bear the burden. In other words, you're not going to triangle Jesus. Now, I know many of you know about the idea of triangulation. You know, somebody has a problem, somebody has a need, and they come to you and they say, "Hey, I got this problem, I got this need, I got this monkey on my back, and I want to give it to you." So you'll take the stress, you'll take the problem, you'll take the need, and you'll run with it. Now, so the disciples try to do this to Jesus, but Jesus is not going to be triangled. He's not even going to be triangled by a well-meaning, well-sounding idea. "Jesus, we're far out. Jesus, the people are getting hungry. Jesus, it's getting late. You should send the people away so they can go and find some food for themselves." They did the churchy thing by bringing the needs of the people to Jesus, but Jesus was not going to take that responsibility from them. So here's what he said. He said, "It's on you." He says, "It's on you. You give them something to eat." Literally. Literally, Jesus tells his disciples, "You feed these hungry people." I believe Jesus is still delivering that message to the church today. I believe that in 2020, especially in the times that we are in right now, Jesus is saying to his followers, "You feed hungry people." Now, there's a lot of needs in the world today. Hunger happens to be one of the needs that's being addressed in this story. Sickness has been addressed in this story. But here's the thing. We don't know exactly what's going on in the hearts and the lives and the minds of the disciples. Now, I want to offer for you real quick just three ideas of maybe what's going on in the minds of the disciples. Either one, the disciples were saying to Jesus, "Jesus, the people have some problems. Jesus, we're far out. It's getting late. The people are hungry. Jesus, the people have a problem, but it's not our problem." Now, that would be a very dangerous place to land. All right, center point, can I tell you this morning that the problems of the world are our problems as people of God? The problems and the issues and the concerns and the cares of the world are our problems. Maybe the disciples were saying to Jesus, "Jesus, the crowds, they have a problem, but it's not our problem. So send them away so they can deal with their problem." Church, the problems of the world are our problems. Maybe number two, the disciples were trapped in the mindset of meager resources in light of the size of the crowd. And so what they said here in the scripture, they said, "We have here only." Now my mind starts going down the road here. Help our neighbors, but we can't help them all. We have here only. Help those on the street, but we can't help them all. We have here only. Feed the poor, feed the hungry, but there are too many of them. We have here only. Either they were trapped in the mindset that the problems of the world are not our problems, or maybe the disciples were trapped in the mindset that there's just too many problems, and we have here only. And then there's a third option, I think, for us today. Maybe they were trapped in the mindset of, we have here only enough for ourselves. I mean, could you hear an authentic cry, an authentic plea from a disciple to Jesus to say, Jesus, we only have enough for ourselves. We're far from town. We're not going to make it back to town today. We just have enough to feed ourselves. And Jesus, it's getting late. If you don't send the crowds away, we won't have enough to take care of our own situation. And so in verse 17, we see the "we have here only" verse when the disciples say to Jesus, Jesus says to them, you feed these people. And then Jesus, he hears this from the disciples in verse 17. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Orlando, I want to tell you today that God can work miracles with meager resources. You hear that, church? God can work miracles with meager resources. And so here's what happened. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, bring them here to me. Literally, bring the bread and bring the fish to me. He directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. Listen to this. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. There's an incredible correlation to the language of communion right here from 1 Corinthians 11. I want you to just see two verses out of 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24. So right here in Matthew's gospel, Jesus gave thanks, broke their loaves, gave it to them, and the disciples gave them to the people. Listen to this language out of 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So right here, out in this solitary place, thousands have gathered around Jesus, and now Jesus is not simply giving them bread to eat and fish to eat. He's giving them himself. He's giving his love, his compassion, his grace, his attention, his time, his resources. And you know what he does? He looks at his disciples and he calls us to do the same. So wherever you are today, I want you to hear this. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're trying to follow after his will, his way for your life. You've received the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and you're seeking to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. I want to tell you today, whatever you have in your hand, your passions, your resources, your possessions, your blessings, your provision, your money, your gifts, your talents, whatever you have in your hand, you've simply been given so that your needs might be met, but that also you might be able to help meet the needs of others. Believers in Christ, whatever you have in your hand should not be held on to. And if I could switch the image for us, it's that we would not go through life clutching and holding and grasping the things of this world, but that more that our hands might become conduits of God's grace so that when things pass into our hands, they meet our needs, but then we become aware of the needs around us so that the love of God passes through our hands into the lives of others. And in that way, God starts meeting the needs of others through people like us. It's why Jesus could say to these disciples, you feed them. And you may say, Dwayne, I only have here 5 loaves and 2 fish. I learned this math equation a long time ago. I can't stand math, but I love this math equation. 5 loaves of bread plus 2 fish plus Jesus equal a compassionate, healing, generous, people-loving, need-meeting God. Center point, a cooler full of fish and 30 loaves of bread plus Jesus equals a compassionate, healing, generous, people-loving, need-meeting God. Center Point, an all-you-can-eat crab leg buffet with Cheddar Bay biscuits plus Jesus equals a compassionate, healing, generous, people-loving, need-meeting God. And so I believe that Jesus wants to take this story. He wants to teach us something new about God. He wants to say something to the crowds, and he wants to say something to the disciples. Here's what he wants to say to the crowd. He wants to look at the vast expanse of humanity, those who gathered around him on that day and those that fill the earth today, and he wants to say to them, you can trust me to meet you at the point of your need. Are you sick? Are you hurting? Are you lost? Are you broken? Are you hungry? I'll meet you at the point of your need. And I love this. You'll know it's me because I'll be loving you through the people that are called by my name. Center Point, God wants to love people through you. The way that God works is through people just like you and just like me. So here's the challenge. You want to make a difference in the world with the love of God? The next time you're presented with a prayer request, take it to the Lord in prayer. But also imagine that God is bringing that request to you so that you might bring Jesus into that situation. You see, one of my fears within the life of church today is what I've come to call the let me know disease. Now, you may have heard of this disease. There's a particular language that revolves around this disease, and here's how it goes. Let me know if I can ever do anything for you. What if we replace let me know if I can ever do anything for you with how can I serve you, bless you, love you, help you right now? Maybe you've heard it this way. Let me know if you ever need anything. What if we replace let me know if you ever need anything with I'm coming over tomorrow to help and I'm bringing lunch. What time should I get there? I'm babysitting your kids this weekend. What time should I be there? I'm taking you to buy groceries tomorrow. What time should I pick you up? You see the difference between let me know versus I am coming with the love of Jesus. I am coming with my provision. I am coming with whatever blessing God has put in my hand, and I'm going to bless you. There's a difference between let me know and here I come. Let me know and what time should I show up. Let me know and I will meet you there at the point of your need. Now, I like this one. Pastor, let me know if you hear of any needs in the church. Friends, I hear of needs all the time in the life of the church. The crowds are huge. The need is great. What if we replace, Pastor, let me know if you hear of any needs in the church. What if we replace that language with, Pastor, I can serve in this way at this time and I'll be there. Pastor, we have a little more left in the month. Who can we give it to? Pastor, we're rounding up a group of people. We're going over to their house to help out. We just thought you should know. I believe it's a minor shift in our thinking that could make a huge difference in how we impact the lives of the world. You know, I've seen this at work in the quarantine. I want to close today by just sharing two stories with you about some things that have happened in the midst of the quarantine. And both of them are related to people feeding people, literally feeding people. You know, the first one was a lady here from Center Point. She put a letter in my box. This was about the time of the first stimulus checks coming around. I went to my box here in the church office and I pulled out a note and I had a letter that said, Pastor, my stimulus check is coming and I don't need it. Can you help me direct it to someone in the life of the church? Yes. Yes, I can. We turned that money into gift cards, and those gift cards have been dispersed to people who need food in their refrigerator, who are trying to raise families and feed children. And it happened because someone who's a part of this congregation received a blessing that they were not expecting out of a crisis and said, you know what, I don't need this, but I can give it away. The second one is an opportunity we've been able to take advantage of through Straight Street Orlando. Straight Street's been doing ministry to the poor and homeless for a long time in Orlando, but this quarantine has opened up a new opportunity for us. You're going to see some pictures on the screen. One of the cool opportunities we've had is that every 2 weeks, every other Sunday, we've had the opportunity to rally the troops to make 200 or 200 plus sack lunches. You say, Dwayne, what does that look like? Well, it's a gallon Ziploc bag with a sandwich, peanut butter and jelly or ham and cheese. And along with the sandwich, you put in chips, Slim Jims, granola bar, and an orange. And we create them, we make them. We literally go to the store and we buy them with our own money and we put them together and we bring them. And every other Sunday, there's been a group that's been pulling onto our property, dropping off the lunches, and people that you've heard me mention a lot already, Will and Christy Foreman, Eric and Krista Kinsey, they've been the conduits of the love of food making its way to our downtown area and feeding hungry people. I love the tagline on the side of the truck for Straight Street. You don't have to be homeless, just hungry. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. I'm thankful for the leadership that has opened up this door for us and the ways that we've been able to respond. Many of you have responded in this way, making food for the hungry. Center point, in giving, we reveal the compassionate, healing, generous, need-meeting love of God to the world around us. And I can't help but hear the words of Jesus even today, looking at a people just like us and saying, you feed them. Center point, you feed them. Feed who, Lord? Whoever's hungry in your community. Feed them. Literally, give them food to eat so their bellies are not empty, so their children's bellies are not empty. We have opportunities to go, to be the love of Jesus in the world around us. And friends, these are just a couple of ways. Take the initiative. Give what God has put in your hands. Friends, participate on a much larger church-wide scale. Sign up for Straight Street. Show up on a Sunday. Make the lunches with your family. Talk about the issues of homelessness and addiction and hunger and be a blessing. I love this story. So familiar, Jesus feeds the 5,000, and in so doing, he places a burden on the church to say, you feed the people of the world. May we respond in faithfulness today and every day ahead. Amen, church? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, have mercy on us. God, we cannot thank you enough for the grace, the mercy, the love that you've shown over us. And God, we stand before you today calling out to you as a God that we know is compassionate, is gracious, is a healer, loves people, meets people at the point of their need. And God, we know that today you're calling us as your people to meet you on the path and to meet you on the road and to meet others at the point of their need. God, I thank you for stories like the lady from Centerpoint who saw her hand, literally saw her bank account as a conduit of blessing to somebody in need. God, may we respond in ways that are generous. God, I thank you for Straight Street. We pray blessing on their ministry and the small part that we get to play as we partner with them and other churches throughout our city, partner with them. God, bless those churches with the resources they need to be a blessing to people that are hungry in our community. Because God, we know from this story in Matthew's gospel that you desire that people are fed and we have a part to play as your church. So God, take all that we have, all that we are, and as we bless you, as we praise you for meeting our needs, God, help us to turn our lives and our attention and our focus to the needs of those around us. And God, when we go and we love, we know we're not loving out of anything that is good within us. We're loving with the love that you have placed in our hearts. So God, hear our words now as we sing out to you. We love you today, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.